The views, information, or opinions expressed during the Off the Rails Cybersecurity Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of the author's employer, school, organization, committee, or other group or individual. Please verify all statements for accuracy and completeness at your own discretion. The primary purpose of this podcast is to educate and inform its listeners. Welcome to Off the Rails, an under-the-radar podcast with an informal discussion on cybersecurity and STEM-related topics. I'm your host, Brandon Rickman. With me are my co-hosts, Matt, Gina, Liam, and our new show producer, Norma. Off the Rails is an informal, educational look into the areas of InfoSec, cybersecurity, IT, and STEM from the perspective of three guys and two chicks, with off-the-rail interviews, discussions, and new ideas. So sit down, strap in, and let's go for a ride.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Brandon Rickman. This is Off the Rails. With me today is only a couple of us. Gina, how you doing tonight? Hush, are you with us?
I'm fantastic. Thanks, Brandon. And it's like the ladies are.
I agree. I think you are going to be the highest hit show just because we've got a little bit to discuss. Didn't we hear something about WSIS is going to be canceled?
Yep. Just today, an email came out saying they were canceling WSIS. Because of the health issues going around with COVID-19. They didn't really want to, and they're trying to come up with some other options. But for now, the conference has been canceled for this year, and I'm really bummed about it.
I am also so bummed that I am leaving Bourbon Street, New Orleans right now, traveling to Gulfport, and then route back to West Virginia.
Well, I mean, I guess I can understand the safety aspect of it, but I don't know. When was it scheduled for?
A week from today. And as of earlier this week, they had sent an email. We're still planning on having it, and they were taking precautions, and we're in contact with the hotel and all that to have extra hand sanitizer. Encourage people to not shake hands and wash hands and all that other good stuff.
I wonder if they had a lot of vendors pull out.
There are some inaccuracies in reporting. There was a link posted to get more accurate information that was actually built, which I found extremely interesting. I'm traveling right now, so I can't pull the link up, but I'm pretty sure that, don't we have a website that we could maybe post the link to it at a later point after the recording?
Yeah, we could definitely link to that. It's interesting that, you know, kind of shows that something real life was then taken and I guess kind of used in the digital world to give out either false or fictitious information. So do you remember any of the numbers from it, or what are they suggesting with it?
I've been mostly keeping up with the progress in the United States because obviously that's where we are. But this morning, I haven't checked it this evening, obviously, because I was enjoying Bourbon Street. But this morning, the toll rose in one area from only 6 deaths to 11 within a matter of a couple of hours. And it seems to be moving to other states now. And I don't have the exact numbers because, like I said, I'm traveling right now, but it is definitely spreading a little bit more rapidly than they expected it to. And there was an interesting projection done by Microsoft prior to it even coming into this area. And that was my daughter, sorry. That would be baby Hush.
Gina just posted the link. We'll definitely get that shared out. Apparently it's the Corona's COVID-19 Global Cases by John Hopkins, CSSE. Definitely pretty interesting map and setup here, operations map.
Yeah, they wanted to ensure that they were giving accurate data, so they pulled it from Johns Hopkins, which was really smart because of the research that they do is beyond amazing.
I know there's a couple of cases confirmed in New York, and I heard on the news today that there's two suspected cases in New Jersey now.
There are definitely a few confirmed cases in Texas as well, so both of y'all be safe.
Texas, San Antonio and Houston are even showing on here as cases. According to this website, 98,000 total confirmed cases, 3,300 confirmed deaths from COVID-19, and total recovered 55,400. So at least the odds are favorable, but it looks like it does spread relatively fast. But I would tend to think that if it spread as fast as it says it is, why we're not seeing it spread faster here in the United States, which would indicate either A, the original numbers or the original spread is not exactly as fast as people think, or it's not, as severe in certain cases. On the fringe cases, yes, it would be younger and older, other health conditions, respiratory issues, those kind of things. But it seems to be pretty isolated, except for dense population areas, which would make sense. That's where anything like that would spread quickly.
Here's the issue. The implications of this on the level and how it applies to cybersecurity are extreme, because originally I couldn't see a connection as far as what does that have to do with computers? Well, okay. We, as the positions that we're in, have to protect by going into a facility and doing our jobs. However, now I see what I think is going to happen is a lot of remote positions are going to end up opening up because we can't leave those systems unprotected. Now,
which for us is kind of a good thing, because
it didn't dawn on me, but in our field, it would seem that the way that an actual physical virus is going to affect all of us is how are we now going to protect on the cyber front?
Well,
because of this little virus, an entire conference of a large scale just got canceled. So we can't get to our destination to make the networking connections that we usually make. So at this little conference, people get into these little pools where they hire talent that they need to fill positions to do the protection. So how is this going to upset us on the bigger picture?
I think a lot of the cancellations you're seeing out are out of abundance of caution. And on one hand, I do understand that's not a bad thing, but I think there's a little bit more hype to it than either A, we're completely being blindsided and we're not being told the entire truth and we know nothing about it as it actually is, or it's not as severe in our area yet. And it may be that it's just yet. Maybe we just haven't had enough cases, and the cases that we have had have been at least isolated enough to certain areas. There's stories all over the place of, you know, the cruise ship and then people being brought back and then they tested negative, so they released them, and then somehow there's other cases showing up around where they were released to. That would lead one to believe that it's still active somewhere it's being transmitted somehow. The way that this comes down to us, I mean, this, you could take this as a doomsday scenario. You could even look at this as, this is a real virus, a real life, real effects virus. However, this is what happens in cybersecurity daily in regards to computer viruses, and how quickly panic, an abundance of caution, can cause fear in a company, in an organization, in an industry, critically shutting down infrastructure, which is what someone who is trying to cause panic would want, a hacker that's got ill intent. So, I mean, there is some correlation between the two, and I mean, it's good that people are putting this together, and I want to believe that the government's not trying to hide anything from us. I think that the Chinese government did try to hide some things, and that's why they have such a massive issue with it right now, is because they tried to not be forthcoming. So
yeah, and see, that's just it. The Chinese government is hiding a lot more, but I honestly believe that so is ours. And okay, and this is just my opinion, but I don't think the statistics that we're being given are real. I don't think that they're, not that they're not real, they're not accurate, I should say. And I understand not wanting to cause mass panic, but now people are beginning to pay attention and wanting to stay home. So that's going to leave vulnerable systems that are running if they don't already have a good form of remote procedures in place.
Well, and I think that's the good thing in cybersecurity. You can do this job from sitting in one location and be working on a computer somewhere across the world, the country, a different state, even just across the street. So I think a lot of those, like you said before, it might actually open up some of those employers' eyes that are like, well, you know, we just really never had a good success rate with remote workers, or we just don't like the concept, or we think they're lazy and they don't do. This might actually open it up to where there are people that may not be able to apply for those jobs in New York. Like myself, I can't leave the Dallas area, not at least not right now. And there are positions in other East Coast, DC, New York, California, Seattle, even San Antonio, Austin, Houston. I just can't do that at this moment in my life. Well, at least if these companies are like, well, we do need qualified people and we're willing to open it up to remote, it might actually lead to more positions. And I understand there's nothing, you know, the WISIS connection or even the conference type connection. There's nothing better than being able to speak face to face with someone and learn about them and their talents and the company and their benefits and everything about the company face to face. That there's nothing that will ever replace that. But hopefully conferences like WISIS will come up with some way to still ensure that the people that they were trying to, you know, help, the people that wanted to go to the conference that were already scheduled to be there, are working, are still able to make those connections.
Yeah, see, that's where I'm at with it. I honestly feel like this is a pivotal moment in not just the cybersecurity community, but the computing community as a whole. And I do feel that this is going to open up so many avenues of protection that we weren't accessing before. In the bigger picture, we weren't tapping into. I think that companies are going to open their eyes and start hiring more remote workers. Not that we are shy on that now, because we do a pretty good job. But some of the better jobs.
I don't know if it's so much about hiring new or opening new positions remote, but just getting better work from home policies in place within the corporation. There's no reason why you can't take, at least for larger corporations, the existing employees and departments as they are, and come up with a secure remote connection so that the employees can do their work from home.
Right, but like based on that, like it's almost like because of an impending pandemic, companies are going to be forced into figuring out how to write better policies to allow for that. And I'm not saying that like that's a bad thing, because I honestly don't believe that it is a bad thing. There's so much untapped talent right here under our own noses that could do the job that doesn't get to because there are too
many. Right, allowing more remote positions in a company allow, say, somebody from the southeast be able to work for a company in the northeast. I see what you're saying.
Well, it'll be interesting to keep an eye on it. And the concerns are, I mean, whether you're the presenters of the, or the people who put on these conferences, or the vendors showing up, or even the people who attending I mean, they may have had their own fears, you know, a mass amount of people in the same area. Until we're sure that we can test for this specific virus in this case, and to be accurate and quick, then, you know, there's going to be those fears of the fears of unknown. And, you know, I hope that this administration continues. It seems like so far they've at least established something, but my hope is that they're not hiding stuff. And I mean, it was pivotal in China. I mean, we saw how quickly it started spreading. An entire city was shut down because of it. And then furthermore, you know, manufacturing, which started spreading through the economic industry. And that's how quick something like this can, if it's not contained. I think the CDC does a great job. I know I would never want to do the job that they do. They literally play with these viruses in a lab all the time. But I guess technically that's what we do. Ours just happen to be digital.
That's what a good BM's for.
Yeah, like I'm almost in shock. Actually, and I don't know because I haven't been near my computer all day, but I'm almost in shock that some smartass out there hasn't already created the COVID-19 computer virus.
I do have a capstone coming up next term. Knowing my luck, see what will happen is I will be like the original worm and be in jail because of it was never supposed to get out and somehow it made its way out.
Insert a proverbial Matt is saying here. There we go.
Love you.
Yeah. I wish Matt was here for
that.
You
gotta get Liam's like hit from the bong. I mean,
yep. Vape.
Bong, vape. Are they really any different?
Just depends on what's in that cartridge.
Do we really know what he has in that e-vape system?
Nope.
He is overly chill on all the shows.
I think it's just a ruse.
And the whole fathering that many children, I mean, you know, it has to be.
So, on to a different topic to try and make us feel a lot more safe. Article by ZDNet.com. Android malware can steal Google Authenticator two-factor codes. That was published February 27th of this year.
Oh, yeah. Is that the one where... there are quite a few routers still affected by it, making it easier to crack?
Well, apparently it's a Cerberus. It's a new version of Cerberus. Cerberus. It's a banking Trojan, Android banking Trojan, and it steals one-time codes generated by Google Authenticator app to bypass two-factor authentication accounts. I did read this last week, and there was another article that I read it up on. It wasn't this one specifically, but according to this article, researchers say that if the Google Authenticator generates an OTP or one-time passcode, those are used, of course, if you forget your password or if you even just have two-factor set up, you use those to be able to get back into to log into your account. However, these are SMS-based one-time codes, so it's from it's directed to your phone through text message, which if anyone that you should know that SMS is not secure. It's over a wireless network. It's not encrypted. It's kind of there should be other ways to do this, but it does lead you to believe that if it can get this far right now, what's the next level?
Yeah, and everybody uses the one-time passwords because they think that it's more secure, but this is just blowing that all out of the water.
And right, that's kind of where it comes down to is, you know, we as cybersecurity experts say, well, you need two-factor authentication. You need two-factor authentication. So these companies create it, but they use, you know, Google Authenticator, something that's widely used and included in phones and because Android and all this. And it's like putting all of your security in one basket and hoping that as long as if one fails, everything else will take over. But if one's based on the other, then you're going to have an issue there. There's always going to be we have to be smarter, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, is when we tell these people that this is what you need to do, these are our security concerns, that we have, yes, two-factor authentication or multi-factor authentication is great. But there's even going around right now the SIM card stealing. And that's serious in today's smartphone world.
Yeah, but cell phone information has been cloned for a long time. It's not like anything new. This is just a new way to do it.
Well, no, the SIM card, it's not about stealing the cell phone information. Think about how many times when you can't log in on your computer, you tell them to text you it and you look it up on your phone. I mean, if I can clone your phone and take it away from you, I can change all your Google accounts. And if your Google accounts are set up as your backup accounts or whatever email is set up as your backup account for whatever.
Yeah, program. That's what I'm saying. So you just handed somebody the keys to all of your accounts.
Again, placing everything. This kind of comes down to KeePass and password managers or password lockers, where that this can really be effective in preventing this kind of thing. There, security is always a hassle to implement, and password lockers are, it takes a minute to get them set up. It takes a minute to get everything moved over to them, saved in them, and start utilizing them correctly from phone to computer to work to personal. But if you can get it done, they're probably one of the most secure ways, of course, until someone finds a flaw in them. But even right now, they're encrypted at rest most of the time. I know KeePass is encrypted at rest. If you forget the passcode to get into it, you can't get into it. You might as well delete it and start over.
Okay, but here's the problem with all of it. Still, at the root of all of this is human error. And we as humans want to take the easiest route possible.
And you're right. That is definitely the key there, is human error. Or human, the human factor.
I want to talk about, there's a city school.
Norm, all I heard was there's a city school.
Yeah, I think we lost Hush there. We'll have to check on that and see if she comes back. But Gina, do you have any thoughts on the one-time password or even two-factor authentication?
You just got to be careful with where you're putting your information and even like the sites that say, oh, here's your two-factor authentication, what's your phone number or whatever. But it's definitely important to have it set up with anything and everything that you can, that sensitive information. I've recently been a victim of, I don't know if it's one person or a bunch of people trying to get into hacked a month or so ago and permanently disabled, but it's kind of scary and you feel violated when you get these emails saying you get a random text that says somebody tried to do this is your two-factor authentication, if you didn't request this change your password kind of thing. And so it's kind of scary that, that the two-factor is starting to get broken into itself as well.
And yeah, I mean, I agree. Like, I remember when you were going through some of that, and it's not a happy feeling. Taking reports from people who've had their identity stolen, a lot of that is, I don't want to say stupidity. It's just gullible. The correct social engineering used, usually fear.
Easy way out.
You're back.
But a lot of that, it comes from, what do you do next? How do you stop it? How do you complete it? And usually the scammers and or hackers, they get what they want and they're gone. It's not a come back around thing unless they find a rich target for some reason. And even then they know that you're going to change everything. So unless they have the key to the key, they're not really going to come back. They got what they want. They're going to move on. But yeah, it can literally turn your world upside down while you're trying to fight through it. And a lot of places you go, they always tell, I got people that come in all the time. Well, my bank told me to come make a police report, and we're sitting there going, there's not a lot we can do as a local police department. There's just not. We'll take the report. We'll see if anything comes of it, but mainly what these credit card companies or these banks want is to prove that you're not lying. If you're willing to go tell the police, then you're probably not trying to commit fraud against them.
Yeah, so basically, you heard it here. It's like Gina said, you have to be careful where you're putting it, or you two are going to feel vulnerable. All right, fine, both of you can bite me.
No, it was great. We were leaving that as the last word of the straw, because you came back. You were it. That was it.
I want to hear you guys' thoughts on putting GPS on our children that ride school buses without our permission. Like, whether we give permission or not, the school system is intending to put GPS on our children.
Well, that sounds like a Supreme Court case violation.
I want to know the reasoning that they want to implement it first. Does it have to do with kids getting left on buses, or is it an overall assumption that kids are lying and not going and, you know, where they're supposed to go, or whatnot?
I want to go with not only no, but hell no. Here's your lawsuit, and don't you ever try and implement any type of chipping on my child.
But the bad thing is, this is an actual reality for one of our teammates. And it's happening, and they did not give the parents any choices in it. And with what we do, we already know how easy it is to get into a variety of things. So we're going to take our children and put them at further risk by giving a potential hacker our child's exact location, where they live.
Okay, devil's advocate. We already do this when we give them a phone.
Okay, but putting a GPS on our children and not even giving us the option of opting out.
Like Gina said, I'd need to hear more on the whole thing, but no, I would not be for this. I mean, this is unconstitutional just in and of itself. Especially when you're talking about juveniles, the school system does not have that all-encompassing power. And I know here in Texas they do not, and I'm going to pretty much say 99% of the United States does not have that ability, because we do have the Constitution. I would have to see more about it. At least it sounds like they're going to put some type of device on them, which maybe it comes down to something that there's a compromise if the parents want to opt in and there's an app created. And if you already give your child a phone, you put that app running in the background on the phone, but then we've got to have it secure. I just see nightmare written all across it.
Right. And parents should have the choice of saying, no, I don't want you doing this with my child, but to not even let the parents choose that. And the only option is if you want to opt out, then your child doesn't ride a bus. That's not okay.
Yeah, that's not cool.
And then again, we're going right back to another issue, which is it's a public school district, which means my tax dollars pay for it. Therefore, you provide transportation to and from the school from out of that tax dollars. Therefore, you cannot tell me that I can't ride the bus without this. However, in Europe, I know at least 2008, 2009, I can't remember exactly when, there are companies that are employees, instead of having a card to access the building or to log into a computer, you must get a chip implanted in your hand that is an RFID chip, and you use that to scan into the building. You use that for benefits throughout the building. And if you want to work there, you will do it.
How much am I getting paid?
I mean, to me, it's more than that. I can see, okay, the other side of the coin in law enforcement is the hardest thing in the world to find a child who is so young that they either A, don't know, you know, they wouldn't have any place to go, or B, they may know where they're going, but they family doesn't know exactly, you know, where their friends live. They just know of the friends. I mean, that's where old fashioned police work comes into play. And that's where you have relationships with the school and the teachers with the principals. And you find out the friends are, and officers go to those friends' parents' house and say, hey, you know, where did you see little Timmy? Where, you know, yeah, I saw him, you know, walk away from the bus. I just didn't want to say anything because I didn't want to get him in trouble. And a lot of that comes down to some of that.
But for eons, bus drivers have done head checks when they come onto the bus.
And that comes down to it, too. It sounds like they don't have people that are doing their job.
Be more okay with putting the chip on the bus and knowing where the bus is, and then having... And this is just kind of off the top of my head, so I don't have exact details, but then having a student, you know, when the students get off the bus, hit a button or something, like something that identifies them. Or
why not a card?
A key card.
Yeah, a key card.
Right.
Swipe on, swipe off.
Yep.
And I would agree.
So my daughter brings up a really good point on the key card idea. Do you want to repeat that? And this is my daughter, Kayla, you guys.
I said no, because what if somebody steals the key card or swipes it while the person's not looking? Then you're never going to know whether or not that specific child got off or on the bus.
And that's where it comes down.
Right, there's that too.
Well, and that comes down to still having the person who is in charge of the bus. I don't think they should just have one driver and that's it. Because can you imagine that? Like, I can't even keep up with my two Rugrats now. I don't want to deal with them sometimes. But having, 30 kids on a bus screaming, they don't care, they're sitting around, bouncing around, no one has any respect anymore, and they're supposed to drive and watch these kids, I would say you, at minimum, you put another adult, you pay for them, that's the biggest issue, you pay for these drivers, and you make it worth something, so that way they take these kids' lives into their hands. And pay attention.
An idea, but if you're going to do the key card thing, you need to have some kind of recognition of that child. Like, I mean, get some kind of like get portable Wi-Fi and have like video of the child using the key card. That way you can see that specific child got on the bus. Because if somebody uses the key card, an adult could have kidnapped a child, and then, you know, some child just picked up the key card, boom, does it.
Well, the biggest issue I see here, though, on that is that they're not allowing the parents to decide that they either want their child to participate or not. It's mandatory.
I mean,
if they ride
like
the bus.
A community argument then, because if you get enough people, I'm sure that something could be said or should be said, honestly, because you can't just decide for someone's child. That's like walking up to a stranger and saying, hey, I know that you gave birth to this child, but I'm going to tell you what's best for it, even though I have no idea who you are.
Well, the government already kind of does that, but yeah, I agree with you. I would say maybe we go to a fingerprint. Besides the key card thing, go to a fingerprint scanner right there, because you're going to have to harm the child to be able to fix that. You're going to have to show a reason. And granted, there are evil people out there, and you could have a bus driver that utilizes this evilly, but we're talking the fringe cases at that point anyway. A camera system, they already have cameras.
Too, though, because I mean, there's plenty of people that could pretend to be bus drivers and just like
exactly you know, that bus shouldn't start.
Yeah,
that bus shouldn't start without
social engineering, though, on that level.
Yeah, I mean, because they don't have uniforms most of the time. They
choose in YMCAs where children get kidnapped by the employees.
Yeah, and that's where I was kind of going. The fringe cases still happen. You're still going to have they've always happened. But, you know, I don't think you need to give them a device to GPS track them. Like, when does the device turn off? When do you turn it in? Do they have to wear it at home? Do they
exactly?
Have to wear
and where are they putting the device? Are they intending to embed a chip into children?
Oh, no, I hope not. But I mean, even if it's like a watch type thing, what the kid takes it off. So what? Now you don't know where he's at.
She's saying, look, okay. She has 4 children. She's
sitting there, I totally put chips in my fucking kids.
I'm going to be doing some major editing because her. I don't know where she got her body out. It wasn't me.
It's my kids. If I want to chip my kids, I will. At least I know they ain't going to get kidnapped.
It doesn't stop.
If they do, I'll know
kidnapped.
Exactly where they are.
Come here, Rufus.
And just like we were, I mean, and let me.
But that's my decision to make.
It is.
And that's my point.
That's my decision to make. Those are my kids. It's my decision.
Okay, let me throw the other side of it. The other side of it is RFID is already able to, these key cards and stuff that you scan into buildings, you can clone them and you can wipe them. And if you have the right equipment, imagine if that's in your skin, you can easily just wipe it and now it doesn't matter. Now you can't GPS track them.
Oh, I guess there is a way that they could do it by fingerprint. I'm not going back to previous episodes and making Matt and Liam sound like Donald Duck or some shit. I'm not going to make them sound like Donald Trump.
I would have smacked you in the mouth.
Although I might. Now you gave me ideas.
It would be hilarious, though. I don't know. My concern about the chipping is just there's so much now that people can track and do. I mean, who are you going to give that information to? Are you willing to open that access up to?
Exactly. Who is
law enforcement?
Maintain the database and make sure that it's secure.
Okay. Here's a wild scenario. Say you're not doing so much on the up and up stuff. You've chipped your kids. You've allowed the access to whoever in case your child gets kidnapped, which includes probably the local police department. And you happen to be doing shady transactions. Do you think that the police aren't going to go check that tracker of your child to see the locations that you go? And then if they need to arrest you, boom, they have you because they know the kid's there?
Right. That's no different than, and I'm sure that you're aware of it, there was a computer modeling done of potential future criminals based on prior activity. Where the program itself, I don't remember what the program was named, but where it actually would flag people as high risk at committing crime. And it's actually being used in New Orleans, of all places. Pardon?
Judge Dredd?
No. They're actually using it in New Orleans.
We should beta test ghost chips and criminals.
I get that. But
that's profiling. And so, like, it goes along the same lines as what you're saying. You're right, and I never even thought about that. Track the child to catch the parent. Yeah, so then that crosses, in my opinion, that ethical boundary.
Well, it's not unethical because you've provided this information, so why wouldn't I think that if I know where the child is, at least I can watch the child, and when you come pick up the child, boom, I run in and I come get you.
Okay, fine, that's entrapment. Boom.
But it's not. There's no such
thing
as entrapment.
Because what parent?
Law enforcement officer can lie to you 100%. Can tell you everything's false.
What parent that gives two shits about their child isn't going to want their child to be safe and give that information?
This is why I don't think the chipping thing should happen. Because as of right now, as it stands right now, your phone, and people are actually pissed about this. There's a thing going around that 911 cannot track your phone quick enough or sometimes even good enough. Because well, it's not even that. It's because of the rights law between private companies, Google, IBM, Google, Apple, AT&T, Verizon, to be able to do that kind of stuff. So you can ping a phone one time in an emergency situation. But then after that, you must have a warrant to continue. And it takes time to get that warrant filled out, sent to a judge, signed by a judge, sent back to the company. So it's how much you want to allow the government to be able to know what you're doing. At the same time, safety. So now we're on both sides of the coin. Do we want the government to know what we're doing? And at the same time, how much do we want to protect our kids and or family?
Well, yeah, you're right. But and that would be my friend RJ in the back. And he's saying when it comes to a child, a judge should be able to overrule anything.
No. When it comes to probable cause and a child's involved, a judge will sign anything. Won't even have to look. Won't even look at shit.
It's called emergency circumstances. It's called exigent circumstances.
When you're back, that simple.
Yeah, it's one of the search requirements. One of the so the Fourth Amendment has exceptions to the Fourth Amendment, meaning there are reasons that could mean someone can make what would be an illegal search legal, an officer, because of one of them being exigent circumstance, meaning something is happening right now and I need to know right now. And in the case of a potential kidnapping, I'll give you a prime example. Story can't tell you names and I won't tell you locations, but I will say this. Guy calls us. I'm being kidnapped. He's very quiet on the phone, for one, with the dispatcher. He's very confused. disoriented, and he's telling us, I know I can see this, and I know I can see that. I'm in the back of my car. I mean, just straight up, like, thinking everything that's sounding. So they start pinging the phone. As they start pinging the phone, they get a couple pings from the carrier. They need a warrant. So we have the ability, large enough department, detectives available, sign the warrant, get it taken care of. We get updates. We track this thing, this vehicle, and this phone for over 5 hours. Finally, because the pings weren't close still. They were within. We had to kind of wait for the next ping kind of deal.
Yeah.
We tracked it over, it was about 45 miles.
Delay in technology.
We finally got two pings at the same location over like a 30-minute delay. That means the vehicle's probably stopped, or the person's probably stopped, or the phone's there. We go, we use another agency to assist. Again, I can't tell you who and why. We walk to the house where the phone is supposed to be at. We knock on the door, and guess who's there? The guy passed out. His friends took him home drunk, and he thought he passed out in his car. His friends drove him home. He woke up, thought he was being kidnapped, and we tracked and wasted all that time, all those resources, and it turned out that it was for nothing. How technically of his own rights. Now, granted, he called us, so I guess he kind of gave us his rights to do this stuff. But you can see how that, one, looks horrible on police. Two, took so much away from police. Three, they all, you know, police, they couldn't do anything. Well, no, we did. We just could only do as much as we could. One thing.
Yeah, and I can see that, but still, I don't think that it would be. I think that my biggest issue with it is not giving the parents that choice, like taking that power away.
No, I agree. That shouldn't even be a factor in it, honestly. It should be an opt out.
With the whole how easy it is that we all know this, how easy it is to breach data.
Yeah.
Who are we?
And how many government agencies have been actually?
What information exactly are we going to be giving a potential child predator? And how much, you know, and how much?
We're way past that.
Yeah.
Like, we're giving them a roadmap to where to catch their next victim.
Do you know that in some states there are laws and actually non-prosecution from DAs, district attorneys, that if it's, say, big deal with child porn, right? But we have an issue with 14 and 15-year-olds sending each other photos. Well, who's the victim and who's the predator? And it was consensual.
There was a big
no victim or predator because they're fucking consensual fucking people.
And there was a big bust here in the Gulfport area, actually, pertaining to 15 and 16-year-old girls posting nudies to older men. But the teenager knew that that's what they were doing, and they were the one that approached. It was the teenager that approached.
Then they should be fucking charged. It's that simple.
Well, I don't disagree, but a child is going to be charged differently than an adult would.
No, they should be charged as a fucking adult. If you're going to act like an adult, fucking take the consequences of an adult.
I mean, we are getting kind of off topic, but I get what we're getting.
Rails.
The biggest thing is, we give these kids phones, their computers on crack, and they can be GPS tracked. You can implement stuff. They can be hacked. They can be all these different things. But now we're talking about adding something because the school district, what's the underlying reason that this needs to be done?
The way I took it was that the school district has lazy bus drivers that don't want to do their job.
So maybe we start there. Maybe we start with hiring and paying them a little bit more. Maybe we actually give them someone else instead of them. You have a bus driver who worries about driving the bus. Then you have a moderator who watches the kids and he counts the kids or she counts the kids and makes sure. And we make sure they're competent and they're background checked. And we go through it this way instead of immediately putting a Band-Aid on a freaking fire hose. It's not going to work.
Yes. Gina, what do you think?
Yeah, I kind of agree with the underlying reason that they're proposing this, but there's other ways to track children on a bus for safety reasons than putting a chip or GPS tracking them without parent consent.
I'm going to go ahead and do the obligatory. I do have kids, so please know that this is a complete joke. If we track our dogs and put chips in our dogs, I don't understand why we don't do this to kids. I mean, they're life raising the same thing.
Yeah, but you can choose to do that to your children. If the school district's not giving you a choice. But I don't disagree with that sentiment. Especially, I have a 16-year-old daughter now. I really don't disagree with that sentiment.
Right, what we're talking about. So are we just going to hand the keys to the location of our 5-year-old that just started kindergarten to a predator?
Because that's what we're doing. Well, no, not necessarily. If we do our job, we don't have to worry about it, right? Because we're not human or anything and can't miss one line of code that potentially never had a problem until some dude that's only spent 6 years working on that one line of code and finally gets it to work where he can break into the entire database. No.
I don't need to chip my children because they're never going to leave. There's that, too.
I'm not against it, but I'm not for it either.
I need to go. Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, I think this has been a great conversation. I appreciate Kayla and RJ. Those are great points. I love having that other side of things, and I love playing this debate back and forth. It's awesome because this is how some of the stuff is. And it's each perspective is different. Each person's life is different. So I appreciate it is all I really wanted to say.
Not a problem. Anytime. I'm always straight and honest.
Okay, did you want to say something before I get out of your car? She's kicking me out of her car, you guys.
I want to go home.
My kid. Have fun editing this week.
Tips to embed in my children. Yeah. Let me go.
I don't believe there should be a filter in this world. We should be able to say what is true and on our mind.
I think that he goes to sleep with freedom of speech too much.
I love it. I love his freedom of speech aspects.
This is what came to rescue me, you guys.
That's awesome.
I don't know where
to find out who your friends are.
Opinionated attitude and potty mouth.
You
wonder where she gets that from.
Norma, we've heard you off mic or off recording, just so you know.
she just called me a sarcastic weirdo, you guys.
You just said, I don't know where you got it from. Okay.
I don't understand what she means.
Because you don't know that you gave birth to me?
I mean, I was drunk.
She's trying to forget.
This is not love. This is a creative discussion. Shut your mouth, love. Ginger.
No, freedom of speech. We're not practicing it.
Okay, go talk to Brandon then. He likes your freedom of speech. I personally don't care for it. Shut up.
Well, he's listening.
Wait, you just told him to shut up. So, yeah, she doesn't like freedom of speech. Shut up. That's what she's saying.
Just so we're clear, this is a different Brandon.
I get it.
Question. How do you shut up? Shut up. Does it go up, down, left, or right?
Okay, put your fucking hand over your mouth then. Do that. How about that? Go to sleep.
I wanna.
That's what you have for, that was your rebuttal? Nah.
She doesn't have a leave her alone. She's ready to go home. She's tired.
What he said.
She said she won't let me get a hotel for us, you guys. She's like, all right,
I said I don't care what you do. You're a grown ass woman. You're literally twice my age. If you're gonna stay here, then stay here.
I'm not staying here. You ain't leaving. Don't bitch. Don't leave me here.
You're older than me. What do you mean, bitch? Don't leave me here. What is it? You have the gummy. You gonna get?
I have four. I don't have four siblings. You have four siblings.
I have four children.
That you do. You also have four siblings.
I do.
Well, while they figure that out, I want to thank Gina for being here. I want to thank Norma too. She seems to be a little distracted right at this moment. But I think it was a great discussion. And thoughts, Gina?
Nope, I'm good. I think my brain turned off because it's after midnight and I've been getting up at 6. So.
Oh, yeah, you need to get off here and go next morning.
Guys, I think we should go back to
bed. I was just checking to see if she was still there, but yeah, you have to work now, so you're a working girl. So.
Yeah.
Well, at least tomorrow's a little bit better for you. But we have NCL coming up, guys.
I'm really not complaining.
Yeah, that's a good thing, especially what you just started a month ago, and now you're already working from home.
Yes, I can't complain about that one bit at all.
So I want to thank y'all both for being here. We kind of hobbled something together, and I think it turned out pretty good. So Norma, if you can hear me now, you're unmuted. Hopefully you are still talking.
I know. It's just because you're not used to me being this quiet, huh?
Yeah, I know. I was shocked.
And Brandon, Gina, and I were just like pointing out that you need to download this.
Oh, no. Yeah, we're going to download it. Anyway. I want to thank our listeners for being here. Of course, you can always check us out at offtherailspod.github.io. That's offtherailspod.github.io. We have NCL coming soon. It starts middle of this month, actually, even more weeks. 23rd is the preseason game. Registration is open now. If you plan on participating, you might want to get started or get a jump on that.
And I will keep everybody posted on if the WESIS CTF will still continue at least.
All of that was like a foreign language to me.
I hope so.
So hopefully
we're working on going ahead and proceeding with the CTF for it, at least.
Well, that'll be
good. That would be awesome.
So I appreciate y'all being here. Kayla, RJ, appreciate y'all's input as well.
Gina. Nice to talk to you, not meet you, because I haven't seen your faces yet, but great conversation.
Y'all have a good day.
Night, guys.
Good night.
Yep. Night.